in Seattle, Seattle. And you need to buy yourself a home. We'll be right there for you, because we're the realtors that you can trust. So go to RodandConsidDow.com.
Don't go anywhere unless you want to. It's the Ron and Don Show, starring Ron and Don, and sometimes me, at ronanddon.com.
Hey, you guys, what's going on? Welcome to episode 714 now of the Ron and Don Show, and we are live in the Les Schwab Studios.
What is up, Ron and Don Nation?
Hey, coming up on the Ron and Don Show, they just announced the top 10 states that you don't want to live in if you have mental health issues. And guess what? I think Ron and I have lived in all of them. Also, let's talk about this. Let's talk about, man, it's my son's birthday today. Turning 14. In fact, just before we recorded this, made him some homemade pancakes. We burned the bacon, which he likes, some strawberries, some whipped cream, and he got a new bike, so we're going to go for a bike ride. I try to write him something every year about the year he just had, and I'll share that with you here in just a moment. So before we get to that, though, let's get to this. Minimum wage. In Seattle, it's the highest of anywhere in the country. And a lot of people have said, since it's so expensive to live here, we have to raise it to about $20 an hour. As a result of that, I've been wondering why the last couple times I ordered Uber Eats, why it was so expensive. In fact, from one of my favorite restaurants the other day, I ordered just over $100 in food. And the fees that were added on were $71. Uber is saying that they're just adding on a $5 Uber Eat fee because the city put it on them, so they're passing along to us. That's not really true, though. Another thing that they're doing is they are marking up that food sometimes 20 to 40%. How about that? So, nonetheless, I think this is very interesting because as we move forward in the gig economy, Uber Eats is now coming out and saying, hey, this is affecting our drivers. You're making us pay more money. Now they're not getting tipped. And also, people aren't calling us as much as they were. The city of Seattle, one of the first cities to do this, Ron, do you think they will backtrack? And how do we move forward in a very expensive city? Because I have to say, I am no longer tipping any of my Uber or Lyft drivers because it's so damn expensive. And I'm like, hey, looks like the company's paying you, so I'm not going to pay you.
I think to me, this is a spider web that goes way beyond just food or getting a ride to the airport. It goes all the way down to what you believe about jobs and about bosses and about publicly traded companies. Let's think about this for a minute. What was the promise here? What was this for? When these platforms started to come out, everything from Airbnb to Uber to Lyft, because, you know, let's not forget that, you know, when you and I grew up, the number one rule was never get in a car with someone you don't know. Never stay at a house that you don't know the people.
Yeah.
Would be like two of the things that you would never do.
Yeah.
And so we changed things into this gig economy. What was the promise there? The promise was, hey, big tech is going to create this platform, and it's going to empower people with very basic standards of safety and that sort of thing for you to generate extra money. By pick your own hours, pick when you want to work. You can make extra money, and then the platform's going to be able to go public and make money for the shareholders. That was the dream. That was what was presented, and that hasn't really happened that way.
Well, the platform made $16 billion last year.
Yeah, so
just bought out Drizzly. So it seems like they're doing fine.
Right. So
is that in a quarter?
Yeah. So the Uber Eats platform, not Uber rides, just the Uber Eats portion, had revenues of $16 billion last quarter. That's not profit, that's total revenues. So obviously they probably have a lot of expenses and staff and everything else. But so what we did is we consolidated all of the high-paying jobs with benefits and health care and stock options and the ability to get very wealthy. That's all headquartered with the software company. Same thing with Amazon. Or Microsoft, all of the high-paying, white-collar, prestigious jobs go with Uber headquarters. All of the low-paying contract jobs are with people that sign up to be drivers. And so it depends on what you believe about this. When I read this story, I'm of the opinion that they are taking advantage of people that really need work. And they don't provide them with a car. They don't pay their gas. They don't pay their insurance. Uber just says, hey, you're a contract employee. You opt in to do this job. And so we owe you nothing but the amount of deliveries that you order. And so I think the city of Seattle looked at that and they're like, wait a minute, is this the kind of world we want to live in where someone that works as a software developer can make $5-6 million a year, and then the guy that's actually doing the work that you wrote the software for, the people that are driving to a restaurant, picking up your order and then delivering it, and for some people it's pretty short. I have a neighbor that does this multiple times a day. And yesterday, the food delivery came that was a 16 ounce latte and a bagel. And I'm like,
$71.
No judgment, I guess, if he can afford it. But it's like, you can't walk down the street and get the latte and a bagel. Like, it's literally maybe half a mile away. And so maybe he's so busy that he can't do it, or there's some reason that he doesn't want to do that, but multiple times a day. So I'm torn on this. I think that the people that I've met, by and large, through Uber Eats and Uber deliveries, are people that deserve a living wage. Like, that is not easy work. It's wear and tear on your car. There's a lot of costs that are embedded in that. And they are hustling, man. Most of the time, there's a big percentage that I have met personally that are immigrants to America. So they're recent citizens. And then they're doing whatever they can to try to support their family after leaving. If you ever get into talks with your Uber drivers, a lot of them, a big percentage that I have met, have left some pretty horrific circumstances, some war-torn countries, etc. And so they're here just getting their hustle on and working in a tremendous amount of hours. And so I think there should be a structure where Uber or Lyft says, hey, we want to embrace you as an employee. You're delivering on our promise for us. And so we want to compensate you for that. So if we generated $16 billion in a quarter, I don't think that it's the Don O'Neill that should have to pay an extra $5. I think that it's Uber should have to pay an extra $5.
It's not an extra $5, though. They're using that. When you look at the fees and what you're paying now compared to what you're paying, and where they really have, to your point, Ron, they really, because I always, when I get in the car, I always interview the person that I'm riding with, if they'll let me, because I'm very curious about them. A lot of them are from Ethiopia. Also, a lot of them have huge car payments. A lot of them are young people. Their car payments are between $800, $1,500, $1,700. Because a lot of them don't have credit, and they walked on a lot, and they're paying 24% interest to buy the car. You can imagine what the insurance is when you're younger. Plus,
because you have to have a certain car to qualify to be an Uber driver.
No, I understand. Well, come on. Some of the cars I get into, especially in Lyft cars, I'm like, this really qualified? Really? This car? This one qualified? Hopefully it's paid for. I've been in that car too. But to your point, if you don't have a credit rating, if you're from another country, if you get in the car, insurance is through the roof for you. You're making an incredible car payment, and now you're on a hamster wheel that you can't get off. And Uber can afford to fight this right now in the city of Seattle, and they're fighting this in some other cities because they don't want the drivers to be their employees because of everything that comes along with that. It'll be interesting to see if other cities adapt this or if they begin to backpedal, because this was approved by two people that were on the city council that were considered liberal that are no longer with us. They're no longer on the city council, and there's people on the city council talking about backtracking. And I just have to say, if I'm going to order dinner for myself and my son, dinner came to over $200, right? And there's a tip in there for the driver. Usually I would tip on top of that when they come to the door and hand them sometimes a $20 bill as well. It's getting harder to do that. And it'll be really interesting with the $20 minimum wage to see what happens in fast casual restaurants, because we're already seeing a lot of fast casual go, we're just going to let AI do it. You're going to pull up, and it's going to all be AI. And we might have one or two people working here, but the 30 to 50 people that used to be on staff, we're not going to staff those jobs any longer.
So let me just ask you this, because and I use these.
And by the way, when you get off the plane in Seattle and you're working on AI, on an AI team, a lot of those members now, and I have a family member that's one of them, off the plane, it was 600,000. It's now $1 million.
So let me ask you,
they pay you a year.
What evolved for you? Because, and I use these services from time to time as well, but most of our adult lives, you have to get in the car and go pick up your food.
Like I still do. Yeah.
So most of the time, and I get every once in a while, like, I don't want to leave the house. I'm just going to pay the extra thing to do it. But I
do that once every couple months.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. I've, at least with the Amazon drivers that I see in your neighborhood, Amazon gives them the truck. Amazon's carrying the insurance, I believe. Most of them are electric vehicles.
Amazon's giving away delivery trucks?
No, like they're...
Wow, I'm going to sign up for Amazon. How many trucks
are there? I'm saying that those people, the people that are delivering for Amazon, it appears like they're not delivering out of their own personal vehicles.
Oh, right.
You know, with
their employees.
Right. And yeah. So Uber,
different scale.
Yeah. Uber. I don't know. I feel like I'm on the side of the ground level workers here, because when you see them, they are usually really hustling to get that.
Yeah. There's no win. And it seems like Uber has room to move here, and they just don't want this to be a precedent in other American cities. So what they're going to do is they're punishing Seattle. And here in Seattle, if they can get these politicians to say, okay, we're gonna go ahead and roll this back. Then I'll see, I think you'll see that starting to roll back. A lot of people in California now claiming, because insurance there is so high, and property, if you own a burger place, right, just the property that your burger place is in is so expensive, and then on top of that, paying a minimum wage, and then on top of that, having to pay everything that comes along with that, with 401ks, education, everything else. What's interesting, though, is here in Seattle, somehow Molly Moon does it. When you go in there, you're not allowed, they will not take a tip. You're not allowed to tip her employees when you walk into a Molly Moon's. You'll see the same employees in there all the time. She sends them to school. When I interviewed a marketing person that used to ride my spin class, I worked at Molly Moon's. Molly Moon's really makes all their money. They're open, and that's the homemade ice cream store. They're open 12 months out of the year, but for 3.5 months in the summer is where they make all their money and have to make all their money. And then the rest of the year, those stores kind of work at a loss or a push. Somehow Molly Moon is able to do it, continue open stores, take care of employees. If she can do it, you think Uber may be able to figure that out too. We will see you on the other side of this. It's Don here with my good friend Andy from Les Schwab. He's an Eastsider. We're not going to hold that against him. Andy, you guys are doing something cool. It's Food Awareness Month, the month of April. We're going to drive out hunger. We're working with Cairo 7, QFC, and Food Lifeline. You want people to head over to QFC, buy some food, and drop it off where?
We're taking those donations at all of our 83 Western Washington Les Schwab locations. You can do a monetary donation at QFC. But the biggest thing is we're collecting this food so that we can distribute it within our communities to help out the families in need in our areas.
Yeah. So don't forget, Cairo 7 Cares, our good friends at Food Lifeline, Les Schwab, and the Rondon Nation, we're all working together. You can donate your non-perishable food item at any of the 83 Western Washington Les Schwab Tire Centers. All food collected will be delivered to Food Lifeline to feed local families right here in our area. So join us, you guys. This is brought to you by Les Schwab Tire Centers, Cairo 7 Cares, and QFC. Les Schwab Tire Centers. Doing what, Andy? The right thing since when?
1952.
You nailed it. Hey, you guys. Ron and Don here for Ron and Don. Love those guys. Actually, your number one relocation specialist. What do I mean? Alex reached out the other day. He lives in California. He's a tech worker. He's moving to Queen Anne Mountain. And he said, you know what? I'm seeing these homes online, but what do they look like in person? I said, there's only one way to find out. Let me go see. I went to see a house yesterday, right here on First Avenue West, that a buyer had spent $1,770,000 on in June of 22 at the height. They just put it on 2 days ago at $1,485,000. That's about a $200,000 haircut. And so I called the broker and I said, what is going on? And he said, you know what? We're moving back to the Bay. They're having a baby. We have to move. And as a result of that, we have to take this $200,000 haircut. Right now, you guys, there are deals in the marketplace. Deals right now that are happening where people bought in the height and they have to sell now here in the spring of 2024. So when you need our help, when you need to get eyes on, reach out to us at Ron and Don Real Estate. Let's do a Ron and Don sit down. All you have to do is go to ronanddonsitdown.com and schedule your virtual sit down with us today. Whether you're relocating, yeah, or whether you're getting ready to sell, buy, or invest in the sound, don't forget, Ron and Don, we sell the sound at ronanddonsitdown.com. All right, you guys, welcome back to the Ron and Don Show. I remember working at the radio station. We had a number of people there. We worked at Cairo and Terrestrial Radio, especially during the winter months. You would go by their desk, and they would have all these lights on. And I'm like, what's going on? Do you want to be on TV? They're like, no, this is helping me with depression. And I'm like, really? And they're like, yeah, it's helping me with depression. Sometimes when you sit inside all the time, and even when the sun's out, and you don't see the sun and you don't get that vitamin D in your life, it can have devastating effects. I really believe that to be true. And so I applaud the people that say, hey, I have the spirit of whatever it takes. And even though the sun goes down at 2:30, sometimes in the Pacific Northwest, you hope the sun goes down so you don't have to see the dreariness and it's just dark out. That's the way I feel sometimes. And I have to say, as I've gotten older and I lived here, my son, who's a native, he's a native, and it does not bother him. And it doesn't seem to bother his friends. Like, they're natives here, which I think is very interesting. I wish someone would do a study on that. And if someone has read a study on that, please send that to me. But I grew up in a very, very sunny climate. Ron and I both did. I was born in Chicago, which is rather sunny. The Windy City, lots of snow, but a little less now, lake effect snow. But then growing up my junior high into my high school years in high desert in New Mexico, we've also lived in Phoenix. We lived in Dallas. We lived in San Francisco, which is a little more like Seattle. Grand Rapids, when we lived there, could be very dreary. New Orleans, you got a lot of sun there. So anyway, they just gave us a top 10 states that you may want to not live in. If you're dealing with mental depression at times, and Washington ranks number 5. I have to say, this year, we had a nice summer into the fall last year, but the winter and now into the spring has been pretty brutal. And Ron, I think what freaks us all out, as soon as the sun comes out, we all go out and we're like, hey man, this is why we live here. The pictures of all the sunshine we start seeing and all the boats, and we're all out riding bikes. We post all those pictures on our Facebook and we're like, yeah, I guess I won't sell my house this summer and I'll stay here another year. And then winter rolls around. You're like, damn it! I should have listened to my summer self. I know this. When he's 18 and he turned 14 today, so 4 more years. Homie ain't living here full time. I think I'll always have a place here and a foot in the Pacific Northwest because I love it. And I think my son will continue to have a foot here, so I want to be around him. I like him a lot as a human. But, man, when I go to sunny climates, and especially when I go to places like Maui and the sun's out every freaking day, it just makes more sense to me. So what say you? I don't think it's a surprise that Washington and Oregon were in the top five.
Yeah, it's not a surprise. It's interesting, though, the metrics they use to rank these. One of them is how many people call in for mental health days. And so part of that is, and they compare it to like South Dakota. Part of that is just cultural. You know,
I think it's 500,000 people live in South Dakota.
Yeah. That so it's like well. the mentality in the Midwest in terms of taking a mental health day and even the policies of the businesses you would work for are very different. So I don't know if this is a definitive study, but I get the vibe that they're going for. I'm with you, man. Like when I, even when I went, and took a 5 week, trip, in December of this year, being able to go out and see the sun and walk around without a giant parka on or a raincoat, it made such a huge difference. And if you listen to any of these of sort of the health bros that have all the podcasts that are out there, the Peter Attias and the Ultimate Human guys, all of that, there's a pretty big consensus among them, and they cite a lot of scientific studies that say getting sun, that specifically at you know early or long I forget the long wavelength sunlight, it has huge benefits to us. And you bring up the vitamin D, but also just even beyond that, getting sun into your system every single day, just it really affects you. So I'm with you on trying to figure out a way to accomplish that. My sister always razzes me because they were able to get a play. They live in Nashville, but she was able to get a place in Naples, Florida, because her daughter lives there and my parents live there. And so she will send me pictures from the pool, especially like November, December, January. And she's not, I don't think she's trying to needle me necessarily, but man, there is definitely some jealousy there when you're just like, okay, my sister and my family is in Florida. It's, you know, 31 degrees and rainy here in Seattle, and it's 78 and sunny where they are. And it does grind on you a bit where it's like, hey, come visit. And it's like, yeah.
What's crazy, though, is all of a sudden it's June and the rest of the nation is roasting. And we're waking up and it's 62 and you're going to bed and maybe it's 82.
Yeah, you cannot beat, like the last summer we had was unbelievably great.
Yeah, so anyway. Don't go anywhere. Coming up, my son turns 14 today. Got a few thoughts on that.
Hey, it's Ron and Don here with Mitch Weeks. You know him better as Mitch.Loans. Mitch, you have a really cool new product for investors. I think it's kind of the first I've ever heard of it.
Yeah, so we have a great new investor cash flow program. And what this is we take the house you are buying and we inspect it, not you, the borrower. And so what we do is we look at the house and we say, will it cash flow? If you put 20% down, will it make more money than it's going to cost you to keep paying off your mortgage? And if it does, it's yours. It doesn't matter what you make on your own. It doesn't matter all these other things that we usually have to document. They don't matter. They're gone. It's just, does this house make sense? And if it does, you can buy it.
All right. So you can go up to four doors, up to four units on this. And Don and I have never heard of a product like this. It's pretty exciting if you've been wanting to get into the investment game. So go to Mitch.Loans right now. Set up a time to talk to Mitch. See if you qualify for this new program. That's Mitch.Loans.
All right, you guys, welcome back to the Ron and Don Show. My son woke up today. In fact, 1:36 last night, he was born. And I was three Jack and Cokes in, all in one glass. I'd gone down to the bar downstairs, I've shared with Ron before, and I'm like, hey, can I get a Jack and Coke? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, well, could I get two in the same glass? And they're like, yeah. And so I thought I'd push my luck. And I said, well, you know, I did spend some time in New Orleans. What about three? I said, you must be upstairs having a baby. I said, you're damn right. Anyway, he came into the world. And it's always interesting, I think, with kids. And Ron and I work with kids when, in fact, we've always worked with kids, I think, to some degree. And we've always supported kids, love kids, and then to have a kid of your own. And then I think sometimes you look back on the way that you were parented and you start applying some of the things that you thought were good, right? And you try to apply those. And then some of the things where you're like, wow, that's kind of missing. And you have to be really careful not to take it out on your parents, because your parents didn't have the internet. Your parents were parented by, my parents were parented by the greatest generation, who were bootstrappers, right? They came back. You wouldn't even known of it. Like, World War II is never really talked about. The Great Depression, all that stuff that my grandparents went, they just kept moving forward. They know. Did you grow up around the greatest generation? The greatest generation I grew up around, they just never talked about it. It was always blue skies and sunshine and certainly even though they went through the Great Depression, never. It was never talked about at the dinner table or the family barbecue.
I never had a chance to meet either of my grandfathers.
Oh, really?
And I think it is indicative of what you said. Like, I saw photos of my mom's dad, and, you know, he came back from the war and then worked in a factory in Ohio.
Yeah.
And you'd see a picture of him, and it's like, hey, here was dad when he was 45. And you're like, he looks like he's 75.
Yeah.
And so I think the war hugely affected him. And then I don't know what his health habits were, but I would probably imagine there was a, you know, weren't great.
Yeah.
And then you're working manual labor, 50 hours a week at the factory. And so they both passed away at pretty young ages.
Yeah. I think for me, as I started to learn to parent and be a better parent, and it's one of the reasons I've shared before why I ventured off into therapy for about 5, maybe 6 years, is I needed someone to kind of hold me accountable. And I needed someone, as I was learning to parent, to kind of bounce things off of and say what I was learning. And I think it, even though my father had, by the time I was my son's age, my father had left, but I still see some good things in his parenting. I can still see where he was trying. And even though it didn't end well, his parenting with my family, holding that against him is not been helpful.
Do you have a timeline? I've heard people whose dad has died,
yeah,
but they have a clock in their head of like, I'm now older than my dad was. And he's like, do you have a clock in your head of like, I've parented my son now longer than my dad parented me?
Yeah, I think so. Especially, that's a great question, and I do. Yeah, I have that line of demarcation, because now that we're kind of at this age, I think of the title of that movie. In fact, I was talking to my son G-Force about this morning when I was making him. He wants some homemade pancakes, so we made those for breakfast and some burned bacon and some strawberries and whipped cream and all that stuff. And we were, I was talking about this title of this movie, Failure to Launch. And I say a lot of people go through their lives and they never launched. And I said, I remember when I was kind of your age, I almost launched out of fear. Like, I felt like, man, I got to get straight A's in school because I have to get a scholarship. And if I don't get a scholarship, I'll never go to college. If I don't go to college, I won't make anything of myself. So there was a lot of pressure that I had placed on me. And I never felt a safety net. I just felt loved, but I never felt a financial safety net that things would be okay. And that certainly was a driver. And as I watched my mom struggle with that kind of out in the open, it was hard to hide. digging through her purse, looking for 85 cents, not just for me, but for three other kids. Every morning, digging through your purse, looking for 85 cents for four kids so that they could off lunch that day. And then trying to figure out my meal. What's for breakfast? What are we going to eat tonight? Especially when you have two hungry boys and hungry girls. It was a lot for her.
And I think the interesting too is I think most of your life, or if it was me, the most of the time would be, how could they leave me? And then at a certain point, as you mature, you go, what was going on with them that leaving seemed like the better option?
Yeah.
Like that it may be impossible to answer, but I don't think most men, something is going on at a pretty deep level for them to choose to leave. Because I don't think most men go, I want to leave these kids. Something's happening in their brain where that seems like the better option.
Yeah, and it's okay to not know. And at the same time, it's okay not to blame them. And certainly, you have to come to a place where you don't blame you. And I think when you're younger, you kind of blame yourself. And I know that I've gone through that when I was a younger man. But certainly now, you reflect on that and you say, okay, let me take some of the good things forward. And then some of the other things I've just found in other relationships. Like I have found, like your relationship with Gunnar, Mr. Ron, I'm very appreciative. It's beautiful, man. And we don't have a lot of family here in the Northwest, but his relationship with Mr. Scotty, Maui Joe, Miss Jennifer, his aunts, his uncles, his Aunt Beth, his connection to family and his other family in his life have been immense. Some of the teachers along the way, some of the coaches that he now has, even you've introduced him to a great tutor, Mr. Charlie. He was bopping along with some B's and lots of C's, and now they're all A's and a B. To see him, his guitar teacher, Taylor, to see him become a guitarist this year, to go become a diver, to actually go swim with the turtles has been, it's been really cool to see that. There has not been a failure for him to launch this year. This was his year of launching, right? And I'm so glad that's happened for him. Anyway, I wrote this. I want to share it with you guys who are close today. I call my son Bubba. I wrote this last night. I said, so Bubba, you'll be 14 in just a couple hours. This year, it's been such a privilege to watch you start to fully engage in your life. Always remember, Bubba, you can sit in the stands of your life and you can watch other people be great, to be great at art, to be great at sports, to be great at music, and also to be great at play. Or you can get out of the stands of your life as you have done this year, and you can start trying. Try. You may never make the Olympics or play in a world-renowned rock and roll band, but all the fun in life is in trying. And when we try, that is when we are fully alive. This year, you dove, you rode, you ran, you biked, you balled, you pumped, and you rocked. It was so great to see you, your drive, and to watch you thrive. You're surrounded by humans that love you and support you, like Mr. Ron and Maui Joe and Miss Jennifer and Aunt Beth and Mr. Scotty. Hang on here, lost my place. Yeah, we all love you, so just keep trying. And finally, never bet on black, always bet on yourself. And remember, curiosity never killed a cat. It only gave it 9 lives. And at the end of every workout, always keep doing what we do. Do an extra 10 of something. That is where greatness lives. And when you do the best you can always do a little bit more. And it's in that little bit more that teaches us the most. This year, you hopped on the world and you gave it a ride. But remember to leave it better than you found it. And you can't help everybody everywhere, but you can help someone somewhere. So find the someones. And no matter what society says, grown men, we do cry. And it's usually an awe. Of young men like you. A great life doesn't come from being great at everything. It comes from trying, showing up for yourself, showing up for others, and writing your own story. Keep writing your story, son. It's shaping up to be a great one. I love you. It's an honor to say, to keep swimming with the turtles and always maintain your black belt courage. Happy birthday. I love you. Your dad. Hey, you guys. Thanks for listening to this episode of The Ron and Don Show. If you need us, just reach out. We're at ronanddonsitdown.com. Keep swimming with the turtles. Keep your head up and your shoulders back. And we'll see you next time. You've been listening to The Ron and Don Show. Crying Daddy only on The Ron and Don Radio.
Now keep your head up and your shoulders back. And keep blowing that trumpet. And we'll see you next time.
Only.
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 Only
on The Ron and Don Radio Network.